From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Legislative and Political Affairs Director of the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Let's talk about some of this week's postal news. As you know, we've been following the Postal Regulatory Commission's proceedings relating to the required advisory opinion relating to the Postal Service's proposed new service standards. This past week, 21 state attorney generals, those are the highest elected legal officers in those states, filed objection to the revised service standards. In part, the 21 states argued that the new standards would violate the Postal Service's public mission and legal obligations, and the new standards would have a negative effect on the mail service. In addition, according to the attorney generals, the changes would harm cities and states delivering benefits and services to their citizens, would adversely impact the administration of absentee balloting during elections, and would have a discriminatory effect on rural and low-income communities. The commission is expected to issue its advisory opinion, which is not binding on the Postal Service, no sooner than July 20th, at which time the Postal Service may implement its new service standards as proposed or modify them as the result of the Postal Regulatory Commission's advisory opinion. Also, I want to remind everyone that over the summer, from July 19th through August 23rd, NAPS is conducting a Midsummer Night's SPAC raffle. Valuable prizes from around the country will be raffled off, with the winners announced just prior to the national convention, which begins August 29th. This online raffle will enable all NAPS members, not just those who attend the convention in Grapevine, Texas, to participate. We have notified all NAPS branch presidents about the national raffle and solicited branch and state contributions in support of SPAC. Please contact NAPS headquarters at 703-836-9660 for more information. Over the past few months, there have been requests for participation of NAPS's homegrown legislative talent. So we're happy to oblige. On that note, let me introduce this week's guest, NAPS Weston Regional Vice President Marilyn Walton. Marilyn also serves as NAPS's National Legislative Chair. Marilyn began her career in Detroit, Michigan, and retired 43 years later in Sacramento, California. Welcome to NAPS Chat, Marilyn.
Good afternoon, Bob. It's good to speak with you today.
Marilyn, you've had a long postal career. Can you talk a little about the functions you performed within the Postal Service during those years?
Yeah, I know I'm dating myself, but I started out in Detroit, Michigan as a truck driver. I moved over to being a letter carrier, so I was in the NALC. Then I moved to being a clerk, so that was APWU. And then I was promoted in Detroit, and I became a member of NAPS. So I go a long way back, and then I transferred to California. I was re-promoted, and again, I got involved with NAPS. So it's been many years over the years, and I've enjoyed all of my experiences.
How large a truck did you drive when you started?
I drove a Jeep and a 5-ton. That's as far as I could go. They wouldn't let women drive the bigger vehicles back in those days, and I won't say when those days were. But we could drive the Jeep and the 5-ton, and so we delivered parcels, and we did street walking, picking up the mail downtown in Detroit, and a lot of activities. So it was very, very interesting, and that was during the Vietnam War, so they were hiring a lot of women.
Let's talk a little bit about legislative activism. You are known for your legislative activism. Let me ask you, why did you become an activist?
Well, Bob, you know, I was born and raised in Detroit. That's a union town. All my family worked in, the auto industry. And all the way back when I was a craft employee, and I guess I'm dating myself, I participated in the first postal strike in Detroit. I came up in a union family, and when the guy said walk, we walked. So it was just a short, brief thing, but it made a lot of point of what, the craft employees were talking about. and that action resulted in significant changes for postal craft employees. And upon my promotion to supervisor, I immediately joined NAPS. I've always supported what is best for all working people, whether it is consulting on the job or contacting our legislators.
Let me go back to that year, 1971, the postal strike.
You're telling on me.
No. I walked a picket line with my dad because my dad was an APW member. And so I walked a picket line, but I walked outside of the General Post Office in New York City. Did you find at that time that postal employees were more attuned to the risks of legislation and the importance of Congress charting the course of the Postal Service than they are today?
No, I don't think we were as informed. As craft employees, we thought that other people up ahead in Washington and places were doing those things. We were doing what the union guys told us to do because that's, you know, the mentality. Detroit, Chicago, New York, we were all like union first, you know, get the benefits, get everything we wanted. So as we got older, and I think more involved with NAPS, we got to understand legislation and what it was all about. And we grew mentally about it.
Let's turn the clock ahead to 2021. Today, why is it important to be legislatively active for you, for California, for NAPS, and for the Postal Service?
Well, it's very clear now what's going on even outside of the Postal Service with voting rights and all the things that here in California we fight so very hard for. We have it very easy here. We vote by mail. We do all those things. But it's important that we coordinate with the legislators out here in California. We have a whole bunch of new legislators. And in the past now, we used to have to almost go there and say, this is a letter. But I am really pleased because of the training ground here in California with the Assembly and the Senate. Some of our legislators really can hit the ground running. We just elected, Senator Padilla was appointed. He was the Secretary of State, and he was on vote by mail. So as many issues been brought to bear to our people, so many of them understand. But I do hear from my colleagues from around various states, their people are not as informed about the Postal Service, but I'm pleased that with all the grassroots legislation and communication going on here in California, our members are pretty well informed about the Postal Service and our issues, I mean, craft and managers, and we tend to lock arms and we support each other.
Let's talk about Senator Padilla for a moment. As you said, he was a state official before he was appointed before he became a member of the Senate. And now he is on the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, the committee with jurisdiction over the Postal Service. How important is that?
That's very important. And he's been working very closely with Senator Schatz from Honolulu. And through your efforts and NAPS headquarters, Chuck Lum, Pacific Area Vice President, and myself got an opportunity to have basically almost a one-on-one with Senator Schatz, who has been one of the sponsors for our postal legislation, and Senator Padilla. So Senator Padilla being new and having to, you know, get his feet wet with what's going on, we felt really confident because he was working very closely with Senator Schatz on postal legislation. And again, he's very interested. And we also gave Senator Padilla kudos for his work on vote by mail. So we're asking him to talk to some of these people and get this going nationwide. We need universal vote by mail. So we had an opportunity to really discuss many of our issues, and I feel confident that he's going to be on our side. He said he's going to support all of our legislation.
I can't underscore or overstate the importance of having established a relationship with Senator Padilla when he was the Secretary of State as he transitioned into being a United States Senator, because he was not foreign to members of NAPS when he was appointed to the United States Senate by Governor Newsom. Let me ask you this question, because when we're dealing with either a new member of the Congress or a new member of the Senate, or even members of NAPS, one of the keys to legislative advocacy is to make complicated issues simple and personal. Could you explain how you accomplish this goal and what really that means?
Well, I'll give you an example. Sarah Jacobs, who just got elected to Congress, we had a meeting with her, and it was very interesting. It was her 31st birthday, February 1st. And we were concerned. She really had most of her career in New York, but she seems to have settled in. She's from the San Diego area. And when we and the union persons on the Zoom explained things to her, she was very interested, very receptive. We talked plain English. At the time, we were really focused on the pandemic and the impacts to operations and to our members. And we were really focused on trying to get help to make sure that the postal people were going to be first or up in line to get the vaccine. So she was very interested. Also, she was very interested in our concerns about all of the changes that occurred and how they had occurred right in the middle of a pandemic. And so we had that discussion and we sent her a lot of information to follow up on. And she was very appreciative, as well as her aide.
We've been talking over the last 14 years about reducing retiree health liability for the Postal Service. And finally, there is legislation that has moved out of the committee, which not only includes that provision, but includes other provisions that would help the Postal Service. And I refer to H.R. 3076, the Postal Service Reform Act, which was approved by the House Oversight and Reform Committee back in May. And it provides a first step towards postal relief. Why is postal relief a legislative necessity? And how has folks from California and NAPS generally been involved in promoting that legislation?
Well, Bob, it's very important because I was active with the legislation when they passed this in 2006. We were looking for reform. We didn't know that they had put something on the bill that would hurt us with the payment of paying for employee health into the future. So this is very important. And like many know, this is a first step. And it's good to have a Senate bill, a companion bill with it, and also other legislation, very important, that was introduced, H.R. 3077 by Representative Maloney, which will give us more rights to seek representation. We need to get more backing for our NAPS proposal so that we can speak with authority on legislation. And so H.R. 3077 will also give us more input into promoting legislation. And so these bills are very, very important, but the Postal Service from year to year, we've been constantly in the red, and it kind of makes me think that that's why we're going through this restructure, because they're always saying that we have debt and we're constantly in the red, and we need security. Most postal people join the Postal Service, at least we did back in the day, for security. And of course, us retirees, now we want to know that our retirement will continue to be there. And we don't want any threat to it. But to continue of trying to pay out into the future, and the only agency being made to do that, it's detrimental to the Postal Service. We need security. And so legislation will get us back on track and finally get this terrible issue resolved.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about security and employment security within the Postal Service, because particularly in these days, it has specific resonance. The Postal Service is the largest employer of veterans in the nation.
Yeah.
I believe 20% of the postal workforce are veterans. Women are well represented in the managerial level in the United States Postal Service, as well as minority groups within the Postal Service. Has been extraordinarily effective in bringing some of the folks that were disenfranchised earlier in our nation's history up to middle class level. So can you talk a little bit about the importance of employment security and economic security with regard to the Postal Service vis-a-vis employees within the Postal Service?
Yes, over the years, the Postal Service and generally government positions have made minorities and veterans middle class. It's a very secure way of surviving. The retirement benefits, I was a civil service employee, and as a civil service employee, and I maxed out on my years of service, you never have to work again. And now the younger folks who are in FERS, they have the benefit of annuity and the Social Security. So this is a very secure job. And military people, they come right out of the military, and they're placed in, they're given a test, and they can walk in. Right now, we're really upset about some of the activities that are happening during the restructure where they don't seem to be respecting the military folks. So it's going to be very, very interesting because military has always been looked up to, as well as the Gold Star families who were, their loved ones were served in the military and no longer here. So we fight very hard for military people, and they have a very good career and retirement when they finish their career in the Postal Service.
Yeah, just you should know that today both our Executive Vice President, Ivan Butt, and our Secretary Treasurer, Chuck Mulder, had conversations with members of Congress and senior members of the House Veterans Affairs Committee on how the current reduction in force is implicating veterans' preference. And those are issues that I'm sure that Congress is going to be very interested in because of the high degree of veterans within the United States Postal Service.
Yes, that's good to hear.
Now, you participated a couple of months ago in the legislative training seminar, the virtual legislative training seminar. What did you take away from that event?
Well, the 2021 virtual LGS, in my opinion, was a great success. Through it all, I think the Zoom concept, being that's what we had to do, afforded so many people the opportunity to see why people were going to the legislative training seminar in Washington, D.C. Of course, we didn't have that one-on-one with going up on the Hill, but I do think that some of the people that never get a chance to go to Washington had an opportunity to tune in and see why we were doing these things. And it kind of made sense. And you had guests that explained. And it was really good to see Jerry Conley in person and to see the gentleman from the Regulatory Commission and for him to explain what they do and what's the difference. I think that that was very important. And I also am pleased that we exceeded the SPAC goal this year. I was kind of concerned, being that we were going to be online and maybe not have as many people, we wouldn't make our goal, but we did. I understand we met or exceeded that goal. So that was very, very exciting. And I think that it gave a lot of people an opportunity to see what NAPS really does besides, you know, representation. They can kind of get an idea of legislation and what it's all about.
Let's expand our horizon slightly beyond NAPS. In California, the postal community is somewhat unique in that it has established for some time the California Postal Coalition. Could you talk a little bit about the coalition and why it's so important?
Yes, it's very important. And we kind of came together in 1998, and working with the Postal Coalition has afforded me the opportunity to have a great working relationship with my brothers and sisters in the unions, the four postal unions, and the other management association, UPMA and NARF. And more recently, some of our other federal union partners have joined us, such as PSA and Social Security. And we work on communicating our concerns with our state assembly and Senate. And remember, California, these legislators are the training grounds for a very large California congressional representation. We make them aware of postal issues and concerns. And one of our great achievements is promoting expansion of vote by mail. So in California, if you vote by mail, you stay on the rolls for 14 years without fear of being dropped off. And we've also had some other successful projects at the state level, like dealing with disasters. Unfortunately, out here in California, we have earthquakes and fires. So we were able to get recognition for our carriers to be almost first responders, especially getting into places where they need to get into in regard to the mail and dealing with the mail. So we've had a lot of successes out here working with everyone. And it's amazing. We leave our egos at the door and we deal with the situation at hand. And we recently, 2020, before the pandemic, we celebrated our 21st annual event we have each year.
And I've had the privilege of flying out sometimes and zooming in sometimes to participate in these events.
Always appreciate it. All the years, every year we've had our event, all 21 years, we've had National NAPS representation, whether it was you, the president, the vice president, even the secretary of treasury have come out and been with us. So it's been really great, and it makes me feel good as being the communications director for the coalition.
Over the years, you have interacted with many, many members of the House of Representatives and members of the Senate, some of them from California, some of them outside of California. Do you have any specific recollections of any special interactions you had with specific members of Congress, and how did it stand out?
Oh, I've had many. My Congressman Garamendi, we've had great times with him. He has an annual picnic, and it's just, you go up to his farm, it's up a ways from here. He has a huge area. He goes all the way up to Yuba City and all the way down all around Stockton. But he has an annual affair, and it's just like family. You go to the picnic, and everybody's there, and it's a good time. I also represented Hawaii when I was the Pacific Area Vice President. And back in the day, no one would come over from the islands, you know, I guess because of cost. So I would always meet with Senator Akaka. He was a great guy. And of course, you know, he's a war hero, just like Senator Inouye. But Senator Akaka, he was kind of elderly, and he would kind of doze off, but his age would be right there to listen. And he would tell me, you know, before he would kind of zone out, that his family was postal, and he enjoyed meeting with us. And they seemed to be so honored that someone would come and represent his constituents. And also, I got to meet with Abercrombie, who later became the governor of Hawaii. He was always great, and he would give me a jar of Hawaiian jelly. So I've had some great adventures. And then we've had some that I was kind of nervous about, because we have a few representatives out here that are not quite postal. But I have to say, when I came in to visit with them, we took a picture by the flag. They were very gracious. They listened very politely. They didn't vote for us, but they were very, very kind. So California representatives have always been very great, and we have a great relationship with them. So I've had many, many good experiences, and also my delegation.
California is among the leaders in SPAC, in the Supervisors Political Action Committee. Can you talk about the importance of SPAC?
Well, yes. So many people don't understand that. And they always say, why do we have to give those politicians our money? And I say, unfortunately, that's the way business is done these days with politicians. And that SPAC, the Supervisors Political Action Committee, gives us access. And that's what we want. We want friends in Congress to support us. And we have, you know, various fundraisers. And as I go out, and before the pandemic, we did a lot of traveling. We always talk about SPAC and explain SPAC. And once people understand it, that you're not trying to just hit them up for money, and that the money is well cared for, and it's monitored very carefully under, you know, the finance laws and so forth, they were more receptive. And so now we don't really have any problem. The problem right now is, as we're starting to meet back up again, we're, you know, getting more challenges and more people interested. And I have a lot of people that don't come to a lot of events, but I look on the rolls and I see they have contributed. And when I do my monthly blog, I always put in a spiel for facts and legislation. I do a one-page blog every month. But I always leave room for legislation and for explaining about SPAC. So out here, they're kind of knowledgeable. And when they're not, they always call and ask, you know, for a personal explanation.
Interestingly, one of the, I guess he was Speaker of the California Legislature, Jesse Unruh, had the famous line that money is the mother's milk of politics.
Yeah.
And so that's a Californian thing, I believe. Now, Marilyn, as National Legislative Chair, do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. Well, I've really just I've been around for many years. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been on the board, but they can figure it out. And I've been honored to chair the NAPS National Legislative Committee. Our team has brought members from every board members from every region. And we work together, and we challenge each other of things that we can do in our area to increase participation with legislation and SPAC. And we try to come up with innovative ways for our members to be involved and to get them interested in legislation. And it's also been great having a partnership with you. And of course, Ivan, currently as the National Vice President Chair, double chair of our committee. And so I want to thank you all and really thank all of you at NAPS headquarters for supporting the California Legislative Coalition, because for 21 years, I've always had someone from National NAPS to come out and support us. So I thank you all.
Well, Marilyn, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of NAPS Chat.
Thank you, Bob.
That's Marilyn Walton, NAPS Western Area Vice President. And I want to thank her for joining us on NAPS Chat. I want to thank you, NAPS Chat listeners, for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make